Take your seats. Welcome, church family, once again. We are glad that you're with us this morning in worship. We're going to conclude our series on spiritual warfare, beginning in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, where it says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the power, the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you might be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak." All right, so wait a minute, Pastor. You're telling me, you're expecting me as a rational 21st century person living in a technological age with technological, literal technological and scientific miracles happening around us. You're expecting me to believe that there's an unseen world around me right now that's messing with my life and I have to do something about it. Well, let me back up a little bit. Let me start first of all. Is something messing with your life right now? Is something messing with your life? Let's start there. Let's go backwards. If there is something messing with your life, you're going to go looking for some solution to the thing that is messing with your life. Is that not correct? If you're having a financial problem, you're going to go someplace to try to make some money. Hopefully not steal money, but to make money. If you're having a physical problem, you're going to make an appointment with a doctor. If you're having a psychological problem, you're going to go see a psychiatrist or a psychologist or a counselor. You see what I'm saying? You have problems. Something is causing the problem. The Bible says the something that's causing the problem is an unseen world, an unseen reality around you. That it defines as spiritual warfare. There's a spiritual battle happening in your soul right now because the enemy really doesn't want you to be in this room today. The enemy, did you have problems getting to the campus today? Anybody have any problem? The kids just kind of slide into their clothes. Everything was great. No conflicts, no problems, no shouting, no screaming, no fighting, no hair pulling. Or did you find almost every step along the way in some instances, there was some kind of resistance? The enemy doesn't want you hearing truth. And then we're not talking today about Lord of the Rings style warfare or Saving Private Ryan kind of stuff. That's not what we're talking about. The Bible says the conflict that we're experiencing is not with flesh and blood. Stop blaming people around you for your problems. They are not the problem. They are the symptom of the problem, but they're not the problem. And if you fix the person that's driving you crazy, you're still going to have problems because they're not the problem. They're the fruit, but they're not the root of the problem. They're the product, but they're not the cause of it. Our conflict, our struggle, our wrestling, we talked about a few weeks ago, it's not shooting at a distance. It is hand to hand, eyeball to eyeball, toe to toe, foot to foot. This kind of close combat that's going on spiritually. And if you become a follower of Jesus Christ, whether you're 8 or 80, you have entered a war zone. Welcome to the battle. Spiritually, you are engaged in a struggle in, the Bible calls it, heavenly places. Now, that doesn't mean heaven, okay? Heavenly places is the place where there are spiritual realities that are dwelling that have the ability to impact your life here on earth. And they do. And it happens. And you're still sitting there going, I don't believe it. You believe all the other stuff that you see, but you can't believe this. I can't believe that. That's because the enemy doesn't want you to believe this. I'm telling you, the solution to your problems. The solution to your problem is deal with the source of the problem. Not the outcome, the symptom of it. These unseen struggles that are happening in heavenly places, we can't see them with our eyes, but they have very visible and very real implications. Your position has changed as you become seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's what happens to you when you become a Christian. Your position changes, and you get a big red target painted on you. And if you're not going to deal well with this issue of spiritual warfare, you're going to be a victim of this war. Now, your five senses are not always going to resonate with this, and yet, I'm telling you, folks, this is something that is more real than your physical sight and your hearing and your touch. And it's the reason that sometimes you feel like chaos is breaking loose in your life. Many of the issues and problems we face, much of the pain that we encounter, even though it's physical in nature and symptom, are in reality spiritual issues. And if we try to fix a problem with a spiritual cause, using a spiritual solution, we're just going to make things worse. Have you ever found that to be true? You're trying to fix one problem and three other things break while you're trying to do it? A number of years ago, my wife wanted new flooring in our house. We had moved into the house, and I promised her we moved in. I said, we'll get new flooring at some point. Well, she wanted it. She wanted to collect on that promise. And I wasn't quite ready for that. That was going to be a big promise to fulfill. But I fixed it for her one day when I was working out in the garage. And I was using the water in the laundry sink in the laundry room and left it running. So it'd get hot when I stepped outside, completely forgot I'd left it on, and I had the sink stopped. So the water came up and went over, flooded the laundry room, flooded the kitchen, flooded the dining room. I mean, it went everywhere. She got new flooring. and it worked out really well for her. But listen, When I came in and saw this water everywhere, and I've run and grab a mop, and you know, and it would have been the epitome of craziness, folks, if I had started frantically trying to mop up this water and sweep it out of the house, but I never turned the sink off. Right? The first thing you do is what? Well, find the source of the problem and stop it. And then you clean up the mess. I'm telling you where your sink is on today. And if you're trying to solve some of the problems in your life without turning that sink off, without turning that problem off, without pushing that problem back, well, that's just crazy. You don't do that. Fix the problem first and then deal with the solutions. And most of the problems in your life are not going to resolve. They're not going to leave you until you get on your knees and do battle in the name of Jesus, because that's where you turn the water off. That's where you stop the, you go, I'm going to go right here. Jesus is the reason that I can stop, I can turn the sink off in his power. Okay, that's what we do. It's in the power of Jesus, the name of Jesus, that our victory is won. It's in the power of Jesus that the strongholds in our lives fall. It's in the blood of Jesus that our sins are forgiven. It's the promise of Jesus that we can overcome. It's in the words of Jesus that our minds are renewed. It's in the strength of Jesus that the armor of God is effective in our lives. The weapons of our warfare, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 and 4 says, the weapons of our warfare are not fleshly. They're not carnal. They're spiritual. But if we're going to live as overcomers and be victorious in this conflict, we need to tend to some really important things. First, we need to do this first important thing. We need to accept reality. This is what I'm trying to push us to do today. I want you to accept, I want you to see reality as it really is. I want you to wake up. Let's wake up, okay? Let's just put it that way. Let's wake up. Your adversary, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion, Peter tells us. Children of the 90s, how many of you grew up in the 90s? All right, so you remember Keanu Reeves playing Neo in The Matrix, right? Anybody see that little movie? It's a box office flop, but Neo was a man who went through life with, well, in a deep sleep, basically. Believing that he lived in one kind of reality, a virtual world called the Matrix. But one day, he met this stranger named Morpheus. The word Morpheus means change, transformation. He met this man who introduced him to a whole new world. Woke him up, disconnected him from the Matrix. And then Neo began to experience a world that he never knew existed. The first thing he realized was this. He realized he was at war. When he woke up, immediately he realized, okay, I'm in a war. Now, the good news is he got superpowers when he woke up. I mean, he could dodge bullets. I mean, he had martial arts chops. He'd make Jackie Chan jealous. I mean, he was really good. He could move and, you know. But here's the reality, folks. We're at war. When we wake up and when we walk into spiritual life, we realize we're at war, every person. And some people give in so quickly to spiritual pressures at the first sign of conflict, and they surrender their will and they surrender their values. I love the quote the old comedian Groucho Marx used to say, you know, if you don't like my principles, I got others. Some of us have flexible principles. Well, yeah, I believe that, but I can also believe that, well, those really aren't principles. We surrender our morality. We surrender our character. We give up the blessing and the provision of what it means to live in Christ. And then we take our seats on the sidelines, disqualified as spectators to the kind, just we just watch. Because the first sign of conflict, we quit. We go, I'm not going to fight. Any person who's been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ and awakened by the Spirit of God will be devastated to think that their life has been disqualified. Paul himself fought desperately against that possibility. He said, I labor lest I become disqualified. Ephesians chapter 5 tells us, awake, O sleeper, arise from the dead and Christ will shine on you. Look carefully how you walk. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Well, what is the will of the Lord? That we know victory in this warfare. God wants us to win. He's given us power to win. He's given us the authority. He has given us the weapons. He has given us the armor so that we can win. You've heard this before. Life is a boot camp. It's a training ground. We're learning, sometimes by painful experience, how to wear and wield the armor that God has provided for us. And it takes some practice. It's trial and error. We're going to fail some. We're going to mess up some. But God's intention is that we win more battles than we lose. So we need to wake up, first of all. Realize, what is reality? What is the most important reality in your life? I like the matrix I live in. What if there's another reality that's more important than the one you're living in? We need to wake up and realize that. Secondly, we need to fulfill our duty and stand up. Our marching orders, if you would, are clearly written for us in the opening words of this text. It's the word stand. Over and over again, we encounter this word stand, withstand, stand, stand, stand. Over and over again, Paul says the most important thing we do is we stand fast, having done all to stand. And since it was repeated that many times, there's probably something we should pay attention to. You know, when I think of this image of standing, I think about the Queen's foot guards posted at Buckingham Palace in London, or the soldiers posted at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. These soldiers are known. What do they do? What are they known for? They're known for standing. That's what they do. They stand where they are assigned. That's what they do. And there's a certain form and style to how they do. They don't slouch. They don't check their account on Instagram. They don't wave at people passing by. To stand means to be faithful, but you know what else it means? It also means be alert. Be awake. Here's the other thing they can't do. They don't get to go to sleep on the job. You do not sleep. They don't sleep. They don't waver. They're not late. They don't run. They pay attention. They stand with a purpose. And so do you. Listen, God has put you in this world right now, 21st century United States of America. Not an accident. You live in St. John's County or Duval County, Florida, Clay County, wherever you are. God has put you there. And God says, I want you to stand right here. This is where I want you to stand. And He is going to strategically bring people and opportunities into your life if you're standing where you're supposed to stand. Now, I'm not saying don't move. I'm not saying you can't leave Florida. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that when God puts you in a place in life, He wants you to stand faithfully in that place. He has a reason for you to be there. You don't know always what that reason is, what that opportunity will be. But He does. He has a plan. And having done all, we stand. Now, let me finally get to the point I really wanted to get to today. And that is, we need to find our strengths. We need to pray up. All right, we need to wake up. We need to stand up. And we need to pray up. Find our strength. You know, we find the strength in this text. The strength that we need is promised to us not by God pulling something out of us that's deep within. He puts something into us. Our strength doesn't come from finding strength in ourselves. It comes from leaning into the strength that God has for us. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. It is not by power nor by might, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. It's not our strength. It is not our fight. I know this sounds strange because we're talking about fighting and then we're saying, well, it's not your fight. It's not your strength. It's not your fight. It's not your battle. And when you win it, it's not your victory. It's God's. But we win it in Him. This passage begins with a call for us to lean into God's strength, and it concludes with a call to pray. And it's through prayer that we connect with the power that we need to stand and fight the good fight of faith. I don't want to minimize this, since I really believe that the key to everything that this passage talks about is pray. Prayer is the oxygen hose that connects us with God. That is the key to winning in spiritual warfare. That's the key to surviving. That's the key to seeing what we need to see spiritually. The Bible tells us in chapter 8 or verse 18 of chapter 6, we're to be praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication to that end. Keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for me and for all the saints. Pray at all times. You know, there's two words for time in Greek. One is chronos, that's watch time. Some of you are watching your watch right now. That's chronos time. You're looking at chronos time. The other is kairos time, which is a specific moment, a season, a pregnant opportunity. We live in a specific time. What is the time? Well, the book of Ephesians says we live in the evil day. We are living in an evil time. Would you agree with that? We live in a time when it seems like evil is winning everywhere we look. That's the specific time that we're living in. And we're to pray, not just regular time prayers, you know, Lord bless this food kind of prayers, but we're to pray strategically, because when you pray, things do begin to happen. We pray, God intervenes. We invite heaven to come and interfere with earth. That's what we do when we pray. We say, God, come and interfere in this situation. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus told the disciples when they confronted a demon-possessed child and they couldn't cast the demon out, that this kind doesn't come out but with prayer and fasting. God intervenes in these circumstances, but we have to invite him to do so. That's what we do when we pray. And really, the spiritual armor that you wear is there to protect you so you can pray. So you stand fast and you pray. And we invite heaven. What is the mess in your life right now? What's the biggest mess in your life right now? We're not doing testimony time. What is the biggest mess you're dealing with in your life? Maybe it's on your job. Maybe it's in your home. Maybe it's with family members. Maybe it's just something I haven't mentioned at all. What is the mess? Can I ask you a really straightforward question? Have you asked God to interfere in your mess yet? Have you just said, God, would you please come and help me to see what I need to see and do what I need to do? Have you invited God to interfere in your mess? Or are you just trying to swing it out and gut it out by yourself? It's very simple, folks. If we do it the way the Bible tells us to do it. There was a bodybuilder who visited, kind of going on a tour. His trainer was taking him around, and he was doing demonstrations, you know, and going in and doing weightlifting and all kinds of stuff. And I mean, the guy was really ripped out. He was like a championship level lifter. They were visiting overseas. They went to Africa, and they were in this one village in this one area in Kenya, and the whole city showed up, and the tribal chieftain was there, and he sat and watched and was, you know, very impressed, and he came up to the young man later on, you know, and I mean, he was up, you know, I don't want to make the guy look bad by making muscles right now, but he was doing all the stretching and the, you know, bowing up and doing all this stuff. And the chieftain came up and said, "Those are the most impressive muscles I have ever seen. What do you do with those muscles?" And the young man said, "Well, I travel around and show people the muscles.
I said, there we goes again, you know. Oh, yeah, the, yeah, okay.
You mean you don't work? He said, I show people my muscles, and they give me money for doing that. And the chieftain looked at him and said, what a waste. What a waste. Bigger waste. God has given you power to access heaven with a word. And you don't use it. He has given you solutions for the messes of your life, but you don't use it. What a waste. What a waste. He gives you this strength, and what do we do with it? Nothing. Nothing. What a waste. See, we fight with the power of the Lord. Let's remember as we do that, that Jesus, again, has already overcome the enemy. The devil and his demons are already defeated foes. We don't have to be afraid of them. They're already defeated foes. The cross, the grave, and the resurrection of Jesus were the source of their defeat. And yet there are battles that you and I, we have to fight them every day. We're fighting these battles all the time. So we trust in the Lord, we lean on His strength, and we lean into His victory. And having done all, we stand. Will you pray with me, please? Father, we thank You for the truth of Your Word, the power of Your Word. We don't want to waste a bit of it. We don't want to waste anything You have given us. We don't want to try in our own strength to fix the messes that get thrown into our lives sometimes. We don't even know from where or how or why. They just do. And we forget that there is a spiritual war that's happening, and we're right in the middle of it. Whether we know it or acknowledge it or not, we're there. And I pray, Lord, that as we walk through these days, the evil day, as Paul calls them, that we might do so in the power of Your might. That we might access the power of prayer to connect us with heaven. And with the strength of the Lord and the wisdom of the Lord and the power of His might. Lord, I pray today that You will give us the grace that we need to do exactly what this text tells us over and over and over again, that is to stand. Whether that's to have the courage to stand where we are right now, maybe in a difficult situation. Maybe we want to run. Maybe we want to cut and run. We just are tired, we're weary, or we're afraid, or we're discouraged, or our hearts are just shattered over issues. We just want to run. Help us to stand. Lord, maybe the battle where we are is fierce. Resistance and the pushback from the enemy is hard. And we need courage to stand. And Lord, I pray that You will help us to stop leaning on our own strength and our own understanding, but to trust You, to speak truth and power into our hearts. Father, help us to wake up and see the reality, the warfare, the importance of it, the impact of it in our lives. Help us to find our strength in you as we stand. And help us to know the incredible power of praying and asking heaven to come and interfere with earth, to interfere with our mess, to fix the problems that we cannot fix. Father, I pray today for those who are here that the enemy did not want to be here today. And as your Spirit deals with their hearts about making a decision to follow Jesus or to make a decision to walk with you in a difficult place, I pray that you will give us grace, Lord, to stand. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand with me right now.